He is Robin Leach. He is Jaden Markin. This is Car Keys.
Oh, a couple of new things are suddenly happening in the automotive world.
Suddenly?
Well, yes. Tesla is pulling the plug on dealership stores.
They never had dealerships.
Just a minute. After all this time trying to get set up dealership stores in states and being fought by dealers that didn't
That's inaccurate in your description.
Well, just a minute.
It's not a dealership. It's a company store.
Right.
Let's not discuss it. They're cutting the stores, so they're not going to sell Teslas through the stores anymore. It's going to be internet only,
which
so they don't have to be in Connecticut or Florida or whatever.
Which is a having seen this on a business channel yesterday, I was quite interested to see how it was presented. And when somebody said, well, you know, they'll get rid of their dealerships, very specifically, the person said, well, they're not dealerships. They're stores. They're like
But that's not the point. The point is that they're getting rid of people that they're paying salaries to or commissions to for selling cars, and you won't go into a company store and buy a Tesla anymore. Whether it's a store, a dealership, it's a standing building that you walk into to going online and purchasing the car online.
So
that's what's going on.
So the only thing you can do is buy it online.
That is going to, when they that get will, it all
that
rolled
is
out.
The trend.
Yes,
okay.
That is the trend. And now, of course, the dealers that are running company stores or buildings are all upset because they're going to be out of jobs. And the benefit may be the consumer. It may not be. The little blip on the this week's automotive news is that the company's vehicle prices will be lower because they won't have salaried or commissioned people making money off the sales prices if they lower the prices.
And presumably the prices will be lowered because of this. But I want to say something because really very often you read about something is like this, and there aren't going to be any more XYZs ever again, such as cash. One of my favorites in the last few weeks is we're not going to need cash in 20 years. No one's going to need cash, and cities are going to ban cash. And as a matter of fact, there was just something in Philadelphia basically saying, no, we won't be banning cash.
That's already the case in India, or a couple of Asian countries that have almost a cashless society capability if they're not cashless exactly already. I read this like a year or more ago. So we are behind in our country as usual. But
so,
we're talking
to get back
about cars. We're not talking about cash. At any rate, the next thing I want to
hold
up.
On. Jill's not finished.
I know she's not. I'm waiting. Go ahead.
Right. There's no such thing as a cashless society, period.
Well, that's a relative situation.
Okay. I mean, yes, money is moved around a different way, but there are always people who use and need cash. So,
well, I want to keep on cars because that's what this show is all
this
about.
This is relevant to the online store and everyone dumping out of their dealerships is not going to happen.
You may be right to some extent, but I do think there is a trend. I mean, let's look at consumer goods in general. I mean, not to name them, but look at what Amazon has done in the last 10 years. I mean, and all of a sudden it's there. We are buying more and more stuff online. That's just the fact of life. Whether we embrace it, agree with it, or regret the brick and mortar days is not irrelevant, but this is where we are. In the automotive world, and relating to Tesla in particular, I was a little surprised, if not shocked, to see that idea of closing
company stores.
And I think it's a bit of a marketing stint to, in the same breath, announce that car prices will go down by 6%, and oh, by the way, that's what's going to enable us to sell the $35,000 Model 3. I think he's trying to turn two negatives into a positive, and Mr. Musk is pretty good at that. We'll see what happens, but I do agree. I don't know if you said it, Robin. I'm not sure all the stores are going to disappear. I do think we need places where you can touch the product.
I agree, but they may be malls.
It may be malls,
but
malls are a dying thing too. So
the point is also, don't forget that every generation reacts to the last generation. One of the things we've got going here is a bunch of parents have now raised their kids, done everything online. And there is a real interest. Now, these kids have all grown up with it, but they'd also like to feel and touch and see some real things, too.
I'm one of them.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm not a kid, but I'm disappearing sooner than the kids.
But what is very interesting is the number of kids who, if they're not suffering from anxiety, depression, or just screen-related...
All of the above.
Right, or all of the above. The ones who are out there actually learning how to do mosaics and touch and have a tangible interaction. And I just suspect that you've got a wave coming along where some – I guess my best argument is, gee, isn't Amazon opening up some bricks and mortar stores? Amazon? So –
Well, okay, let's get back to cars because I want to talk about a number of things relative to cars and car keys as opposed to stores and Amazon. Mm-hmm. The issue of removing company stores, if it's going to remove the real estate part, has another thing with electric cars. Do we need dealerships or company stores, whatever you want to call them, buildings, for electric cars, not necessarily Teslas, but the new Polestars coming out from Volvo, the new all-electric vehicles coming out from the manufacturers going forward, because of one thing. You do not need to service electric cars the way you need to service cars that need lubrication and oil changes and the like,
It's a good point. And it's a good point. And to that point, yes, electric cars need less maintenance than –
I mean, they still have bearings in the wheels.
They still have bearings. They still have brakes. They still have tires.
Listen, in medicine, you're going to just – you had to change certain things, at least veterinary medicine. Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
The reason that I'm saying that is you had to recreate it for wellness visits, because if you can't get the person in with their pet, you can't really tell what's going on. And I think if you can't get someone in with their car, you lose an entire relationship with your customer that you would otherwise have. So
you have a good point. Tesla's been trying to have mobile service vehicles going out on the road to service people with problems with their cars. Otherwise, there have still been company stores. There have been some problems with scheduling repairs with Teslas, just simply because there aren't very many company stores, and there are also probably not many mobile vehicles that are nearby. I mean, I heard one person who had to wait something like 6 hours for somebody to come to his car. This is a rural area owner, not somebody in an urban environment where Tesla was emphasizing availability of company stores or better service procedures. But this is an infant industry. The electric vehicle industry is in its infancy. Tesla has pioneered it for sure. The American manufacturers are shifting also, and even the Europeans are shifting towards all electric vehicles. I read something that the next Porsche Cayenne, I think, is going to be all electric, or one of the Porsches.
Macan.
The Macan?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think something else is too, but in any event, they're moving towards all electric. Now, let's go to the other side of the picture. I went down and was helping somebody look at vehicles late last week, and we ended up in a very nice VW Audi Porsche dealership. And we went to the VW store first because I was trying to convince this person that she did not need an Audi. And sorry, Audi dealers, anybody listening, because she has an Audi and loves it. And but she may not be in the position to afford a replacement Audi. So we went to look at VWs. And we ran into a superb salesperson who knew his stuff, knew all about, you know, the pros and cons of front-wheel drive and how you can overcome a car that doesn't come in an all-wheel drive configuration in the model she was looking at. And if you put four Blizzaks or two in the front drive at least on a car. It can do almost anything except probably start up on a very steep incline in a snowy condition, which an all-wheel drive car might do. But the point, we got into electric cars, and here he goes. He says he doesn't think electric cars are going to be viable for a large portion of the purchasing public going forward for many years until they actually get genuine, quick charging capability omnipresent across the country. And he brought up the same thing I've been bringing up on this show about you cannot drive from here to Florida 10-hour days driving on the road conveniently currently with an all-electric vehicle because the range isn't there and the charging the speed aspect of the charging situation isn't there yet.
Can I interrupt?
In a second, you can. I'll let you start without interrupting. The other portion he brought up, and which I've also said in the show, is it's very hard right now to use an electric car the way you can use a fossil fuel car because of range possibilities and the lack of charging stations off the main arteries, which currently how they currently exist, going east and west and north and south. And so if you want to go on a touring type of drive, an electric car is going to be more confining to you because you won't be able to just drive 150 miles along an interstate with a charging station, see a sign for a national park up in a valley somewhere 80 miles further away and go up there easily knowing that a charging station may or may not be there and then get back to the charging station on the main artery. And until that changes, you won't have electric car flexibility, comfort in your driving situation like you do with a fossil fuel car.
Okay, that VW salesman was maybe trying to sell a Jetta that comes only in two-wheel drive and no non-electric. But here's the reality. Most households have more than one car. Most people do not drive to Florida even every other day or every other week, and most people drive 50, 100 miles a day, if that. So you can go to work and back. You can go do your grocery shopping. You can go, even when you live in remote areas like here, you can go a lot of places and come back and charge your car at night, and it'll be ready to go the next day. And, again, most people have two cars. So you can have one car that's an electric car and one that's not.
That's not an arguable defense for what I'm bringing up to this
point. Wait a second.
Point.
What it also doesn't show is, I mean, sure, most people of a certain income level have more than one car, and they can do whatever the heck they want with it. Right. Guess what?
Most people don't have the income level to afford two cars easily.
And some people are single and only have one. And a lot of people have only one car. That's fine. I'm not saying fossil fuel cars are disappearing. But I don't think
you are not going to have an electric car anytime soon, my friend. And you keep arguing this point, and we're not going to do that on this show, okay? Because that's not what the show's about. Another thing that's going on in the industry is top speeds maybe being artificially reduced going forward. Volvo has announced that coming in 2020, they're going to start producing cars with a limited top speed of 112 miles an hour so that they will have zero possibility of anybody getting killed in their cars. That's one of the things they're doing. And will this follow forward with the Americans and the other Europeans?
How's that going to work?
What?
How's that going to work?
So, well, they already have speed limits. Audis, I think Mercedes, non-S versions are already limited to 130 miles an hour top speed and have been so for many years.
Yeah, but you can also
get killed at 35 miles an hour.
What?
I said all I'm trying to understand is people get killed at 35
right.
miles an
and,
hour.
And you can buy the option with those high-end brands. There's always an option where you can get the
165 or the 185.
That's right, but most of the people won't be able to buy those brands. And the
most people don't go 112 miles an hour a single time in their life.
That's correct. So this is news for car keys. This isn't a question of arguing about it amongst us three here in the studio, okay? Now, this is just what's going to happen. And it's going to limit the top speed on all its new cars to 180 kph, kilometers per hour, 112 miles an hour, starting in 2020, which is the same year the Swedish automaker wants there to be zero people killed or seriously injured in any of its new models.
Because
that's what they're doing. Yes.
Can I point out that pedestrians are getting, there are more pedestrians being killed. That number is going up.
Because so people that, are so damn, excuse me, distracted because they're doing stuff. I mean, it's not the only source of...
And that wasn't the point of this piece of information for Car Keys listeners, okay? It may happen to other vehicles. So if you're going to get a Volvo, you want to go more than 112 miles an hour, you better buy one before 2020 for any reason, whether you go 112 or more miles an hour or not.
Here's my point. If you want to go more than 112 miles an hour, you're probably looking at other cars than a Volvo.
That's true.
And you better have a racetrack because you certainly don't want to do it on a local road.
Well, I don't know why anybody wants to buy a McLaren or a Porsche or anything else that goes 180 or 200 miles an hour, but they do in small numbers, I shall say. And
ego,
they're not necessarily getting killed
thrill,
in those cars either.
Show off. A bunch of reasons.
But isn't that part of the fun of cars?
It is part of the fun of cars, but I think it's more of the fun to be able to talk about your car than it is actually being able to use your car that way, because we've said in other shows in the past, when you buy these cars, the only place you really can drive them at these kinds of speeds are on the Autobahn in Europe or racetracks, which allow you to bring your cars on them and play on the racetracks during the course of a day or two.
Can I circle back to your Volkswagen story versus Audi and whatever else you were looking? You were in a VW,
Porsche.
Yeah. So where did you end up in the Audi or the Porsche dealership part of the store?
We ended up trying three VW vehicles, okay?
Okay, which one? One
was a Beetle, which is going to be extinct until it comes back in maybe an electric variant. The first one was the Jetta, which this person is driving an A5 right now and loves her A5 and did not expect to like it, but liked it. But let me tell you what the killer was. The GTI, which is what we ended up in after we just drove the first two cars and were about to leave the dealership. And this person decided to look at the GTI on the floor, got really excited about it. And the salesperson said, would you like to test drive this too? And after a 30 seconds of thinking, the answer was yes, and that may be the car that this person ends up acquiring. And let me tell you, I haven't been in a GTI in a long time. From the start of the engine to the end of the test drive, and I sat in the back seat of all the test drives, it was absolutely a thrill. And if I were some years younger than I am right now, I would probably make that my next purchase. Well, absolutely amazing compared to the two cars, and it really turned this person on. All of a sudden, she lit up and said, this is the car I want.
And what was that? What about that made that happen?
The engine, starting the engine. Before, it was the first trigger.
And by the way, it's the same engine as in her A5.
That's correct. But the sound, and then driving out and pushing on the accelerator and feeling what this car did, and then driving it around the test drive. We had 20-minute test drives in each of the cars, and the salesperson was really great.
He
took us on roads and said, this will be like a winding race car track.
This is still the spirit of the original GTI back 1976.
It's brilliant.
It is the best Volkswagen bar none.
It is brilliant. And it's not all-wheel drive in the variants that we anybody reasonably can afford. I don't know whether there's still a VR60 in Europe. Is there?
No, but you have the R, which the R is the all-wheel drive version with more power and also costs a lot more money.
You don't need the power of the R either.
No.
So whether this person
ends up with 112 miles an hour, sorry.
Well, the GTI will do more than that. But it tells you what you can discover when you have the latitude to sort of play with models within a car line, and what a smartly engineered car such as a GTI can do for somebody who is sort of, if not totally car savvy, car driving interested and car.
Robin,
interested.
You're smiling. I think you've just bought your next new car.
I would retract my no new car purchase.
This may happen anyway.
And go
spring
do that.
Spring is coming. But the more
spring is coming, right.
But the more important thing is you are smiling and you are enthusiastic about a car that actually drives like a car.
Well, sure, it drives like a great car. It doesn't drive like great
cars. I don't mean it like
it's
that.
It's not just a car car.
I don't mean that. I'm talking about literally, you know, we sit here and we talk about the this and the computer.
Yeah, there are a lot of boring cars out there.
But this activates the enthusiasm that is the point of being.
The sad part about Volkswagen in this whole story is that Volkswagen here in the U.S. is actually going away from the GTI type cars. Volkswagen has U.S. specific models, and some of them are replacing global cars. You know, we can think of my Touareg that's been replaced by the Atlas, which is an okay three-seater, but it's not great.
A Touareg.
It's not a Touareg. It's not an Audi. It's not a lot of things, but it's okay. The Jetta, the new Jetta, is a fine car, but it's not the sedan version of a Golf, what the Jetta used to
but
be.
But it's the
it's bigger and blander and
Jill's right about my grin that's on my face during this discussion.
All I'm trying to talk about is the enthusiasm. It really helps to be enthusiastic or passionate, not just okay. There's plenty of okay.
There are too few passionate buyers
out there. But just like, oh, wow, that's really cool.
I think I know who this person is, and regardless, she's already driving an Audi A5, which is already it makes a statement about this person. It's a nice car. It's not a practical car per se, except that one is all-wheel drive. But it is somebody who has an appreciation for
nice cars. She lit up. Like I just lit up on the microphone here, she lit up the minute that engine started. It was the exhaust sound,
but otherwise,
and all sorts of things.
I will make the sales pitch.
Yeah,
I think the car made it.
I'm not trying to belabor. I'm just trying to say, hey, folks, there's enough bland out there. If you're going to do something, if you're going to splash out with the money XYZ, do something that makes your face light up.
Well, if you can do that, that's going to do that kind of...
Well, at least that, approach that will do things it. That way.
But we're running out of time, and I'd like to bring up something that happened to me in a dealership this last week when I took one of my Jeeps in for service, and it had to have new brakes, and so I had to go pick it up. And I want anybody who's having a car serviced who takes it to their dealership where they bought the car or the manufacturer who made the car and picks up a car after service. The dealership sent the service person out to pick up my car in the back and bring it to me so I could drive it home. And I was outside sitting there waiting for the car, and the guy drove up. And as he drove up, I noticed a physical defect in the exterior metal of my vehicle, which had not been there when I brought the car in. And so I did not get in the car. I looked at it. I went over and looked at it. And there was a crease in the metal of one of the doors. And there was a paint scrape where somebody who would obviously open the door of a vehicle parked next to my car and hit it. And this metal, I don't know what they call high-strength steel. I don't know what they think high-strength steel is, but it's certainly not high-dent resistant.
Is that the metal that was opened like a can opener the first week you had the car?
Oh, I had a stick hit the other side of the door.
And it opened like a can opener.
And it didn't open like a can opener. It just put a dent in the door right below the handle. And it was a stick that just flipped up because the wheel hit it on the pavement. The car wasn't 2 weeks old when this happened. And I still haven't had it repaired because it's ridiculous, but it didn't break the paint. But anyways, I went in and brought the service advisor out and said, this wasn't here before. The long and short of it is I have an appointment and they're going to fix the whole thing. And I don't know what it's going to take them to do it, but they're going to make it look like new or I'm not going to accept the job. And it's going to be on their ticket.
And happily you have another car.
Had I driven this off to close this show, the dealership lot and brought it back an hour or maybe a day later and said, I don't remember this, they probably would not have owned up. They had no choice.
They would not have not.
And they would not have done it. And it is really, if you're compulsive about your exterior metal looking like new, this is a case in point of which I may have saved myself some money because they had to eat the
even
situation.
Even if you're not compulsive, the point is, look at the product that's being brought back to you before just blindly getting
absolutely.
In and driving off.
Because but better yet, you ought to look when you go. It's like when you rent a car. They
yes.
go around with
yeah,
a
you do go around.
A lot of dealerships do that yeah. now. They will go around the car and market. And,
but he
and,
wouldn't have spotted this because they hadn't washed the car. That was the other thing about it. And normally they washed the car, but it would have showed up more. And I don't know whether anybody really knew that it was there or not, but I spotted it, and I caught him at the act.
Wrong guy to do that to. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.